and welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Sabre Podcast Network. It is game week, Virginia hosting Wake Forest, their fifth night game of the season, and this one's a primetime affair against the Demon Deacons, 7 o'clock ESPN. But we got ACC Huddle in Charlottesville this weekend for this. They're going to be on at 10 a.m. on Saturday up on O'Hill. Eric McLean is my guest, analyst on the Huddle on ACC Network, co-host of Gramlich and McLean podcast. Y'all just had Chandler Morris as a guest. You also have the Mac and Murray College Football Show. Man, you're busy, but it's going to be good to see you up in Charlottesville this week.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for having me. We're juiced up to be in Charlottesville. And it's funny, I try to align my guests where we go just to continue to promote the show and promote where we're going. And I've wanted to have Chandler on for like eight weeks now, and I've been waiting and buying my time. And here we are. So it was great to talk with him. Great to see him. And so excited about all the amazing things that he's doing, but even more selfishly excited for myself because I get to come back to Seaville and I get to come hang out with the Hoos and see everybody. And as you mentioned, we'll be there on O'Hill. Man, just a challenge to all the Virginia fans watching the last 3 weeks in a row. We have had bigger and bigger and bigger crowds, and I think this one has a shot. The way this community's been rallying around this team, it's such a good look, you know, on national TV for the school, for the conference. And I hope everybody's early, loud, and bring those signs. We've had some great signs recently as well, and just super excited to be in Charlottesville.
Well, you mentioned that the crowd's been growing for y'all. The crowd's been growing at Scott Stadium this year. I've been talking to people for a story I'm working on this week that this will for sure be the third straight game that they've had 50,000-plus fans. That has not happened since 2009.
Man.
So it's been a long time. There's the word sellout kind of floating off in the atmosphere. We'll see if they get to that point, but it's definitely going to be a big crowd. But you mentioned you've wanted to have Chandler Morris on for a while. You got a couple good connections to this program. We'll start with Tony Elliott. Obviously, he was the running backs coach while you were playing at Clemson. What has it been like watching Tony Elliott these past few years, but especially this year, to see what he's done to turn this program around?
Yeah, it's been tremendous. So he was the running back coach for four of my years. And then my last year, my senior year, he was actually our OC. So he was my leader and he was the guy, steering the ship. And, it was one of those things where that year in particular, you saw stuff. It's just not as much because he wasn't my position coach, but we still talk and things of that nature. But once he became the OC with Jeff Scott, he had to step in that role and he had to be more, of that leader and very present with the whole offense. And that was really cool to see that transition and to know almost instantaneously, which I'm sure the running backs knew before we did, but just to know like this guy's got it. Like he can lead men and he can lead a team. And, I just remember it's hard to explain how happy we were for him, but also just excited to see him grow once he got this job and got this opportunity with Virginia, because I knew it would be something that he was so good at and just ready for and ready to help, a program like this continue to be where they want to be and continue to climb and get there. And certainly there was unprecedented, things along the way that I think he was there for that reason, to help that. I also think he's there for many other better and bigger reasons when it comes to success and greatness with this football team. So it's been fun to watch, man. The fact that he's got the number 14 team in the country probably should be a little better, if we're being honest, should be ranked higher. Come on, committee. What are we doing? But they're fighting and they're finding ways to win. Very complimentary football. And I just knew, there was rumblings and whispers, in the off season. I'm like, please just give this guy time. Just let him build his program, give him the resources to do so, which the facility is unbelievable. The money, it seems like, is coming there. I saw an article a couple of weeks ago of whatever number, maybe the fifth person multi-million-dollar investment into football only. That's what it takes. And you see the benefit. You see the fruits of that. 5-0 first place in the ACC, 8-1 overall. I think the best start in 30, 35 years. So the proof's in the pudding, and he's the guy, man. And it's so fun to see that from my perspective.
I guess when this program, the first couple seasons, he won 11 games in the first 3 years. Was there something that told you, I think he's going to get a chance to turn this around? Or there's, you felt like maybe they're just a one season away.
Yeah. Not externally, you know, not from anything that I heard from, you know, administration, or there wasn't anything where I was like, yeah, he's good, he's fine. Cause you just never know in this day and age, you know, where people are impatient. But for him and who I know he is, and the things I would hear him talk about in some conversations that we would have, yes, 100%. And just knew that he's just got to get it right. Because let's be honest, as great as the staff before was, I mean, they quit. They left, and they quit on that team. And how strange of a situation. And of course, dealing with all the things that Virginia did in between then and now, that's a lot for a program to really, you know, overcome, and the travesty and just all those things. And so I just knew, man, if he can get to some normalcy, if he can get to some type of rhythm, it's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. And that's exactly where he is now. So kudos so much to Carla Williams, the administration, the, you know, higher ups with the school president and everybody else, just for being patient and giving him the resources to be successful, because that truly is the name of the game right now in college athletics and college football specifically.
You talked about Chandler Morris. Obviously, Chad Morris is the offensive coordinator there. I think throughout, you know, y'all got there the same year. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've had the chance to talk to Chad a couple times this year as he's been around UVA and everything. But he liked to tell stories about, you know, I think there was one practice where Dabo stopped practice, and there's a bunch of coaches' kids playing on the other field next to y'all. And he was like, y'all need to play like that. Like, these kids are beating the crap out of each other over there. What do you remember about maybe not just Chandler, but just all those coaches' kids running around the building? Because now they're all, you know, playing college football.
Right. Right. Yeah. Or coaches or yeah. GAs or something somewhere. It seems like all of them. It's some of the best memories, you know, just because that's why I chose Clemson. That's why I love Clemson and still do. And that's kind of the Clemson family was very evident and very real to us as players, because it was tangible. It was right there in your face. You know, all these coaches' kids running around and seeing the importance of that. Of fathers in child's lives, of family, and you know, how to you know, not only be elite at being a football coach, but also be elite as a husband and as a father. And so, you know, those were things that it's easy to talk about. It's hard to show and to demonstrate, but Coach Sweeney figured it out. And I know Coach Elliott's probably doing the exact same thing there. I see Ace and AJ running around that place all the time. It was funny when we were there, you know, last year, and we had our set inside the stadium. I saw Ace and AJ running around the hill the whole game, and it was just funny watching them and seeing, man, this is cool that's how they get to grow up. And all the guys that I saw do that, and funny enough, one of them is your quarterback now.
Yeah, let's talk about the quarterback, Chandler Morris. Obviously, he's gone through a crazy journey in his career, from Oklahoma to TCU, winning the starting quarterback job at TCU, having the injuries, going to North Texas, and he kind of gave him life again in college football, and now coming to UVA and having the season he is. Just what has impressed you about what he's been able to do this year? I know he's battling another injury this year, but he's kind of fighting through it, and, you know, Tony likes to say he's a warrior.
Yeah, he is. He's a fighter, and you know, he's going to find a way to be the best he can. And I think it's such a just an interesting journey, you know, to see a guy come into somewhere, earn the starting spot, get kind of pushed down by injury, fight back, get it again over a guy that, by the way, led TCU to a national championship. Like, he beat out Max Duggan for that starting position. And then, you know, when he gets hurt kind of that last time there, then moving on from him, that's kind of a dark side of college football that not a lot of people talk about. And I'm sure that was a horrific place for him, and talking about not loving the game, and, you know, the game wasn't loving him back, and just a hard place to be, because that's literally been his whole life has been football and been a coach's son or a player. And so when that's hindered or taken away, man, it's hard. It's really, really tough. And you have to have unbelievable things you can lean on to get out of that. And he did. And he gave Coach Morris at UNT a ton of credit for that at North Texas. And, you know, the game was fun again, and he was slinging the ball all over the yard. And then to find, you know, his way to Charlottesville, and what an amazing journey for this to be the exclamation point on his career. But you look at the way he plays, you look at the things that he will do for his team. He's got a little Brett Favre to him, a little gunslinger, little send it down the field without any regret. And I love that, because I think the team feeds off it. I think they feed off his energy. And you talk about playing hurt. I mean, that's, everybody's doing that at this time of year. But when your quarterback does it, it's to another level, and it makes everybody else say, "Well, I'm fine. If he can go, I can go. Like, let's go to work here." And I think just the offense obviously goes as Chandler goes. And that was the reason why he came here. And that's why Coach Elliott wanted him, because they knew that could really happen.
Yeah. You mentioned the college football playoff rankings earlier, so I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about that a little bit. I have not gotten to talk about that on the podcast this week. UVA ranked number 14 in the rankings, the first rankings of the season, just ahead of Louisville, Georgia Tech, Miami, Pitt also in the rankings. Just your initial reaction just to kind of seeing where the ACC was in the college football playoff rankings.
Yeah, I like the representation. I looked at Pitt and I said, "Man, they're a different team with Heinsohn quarterback, right? Like, they are a totally, different team since then. Undefeated since he's taken over. He's like top five in a lot of categories since he's been named the starter. If you just kind of started the season then and look at a bunch of different stats." So I was very excited to see that they were getting credit for that, and they were getting recognition, deservedly so, there at the 24 spot. And then just to, the lump of the other guys, kind of all right there together. Again, it's good that they're represented. It's the first, poll. It's not really going to matter, but it does matter in a sense of pole position and starting somewhere, because obviously you have to climb so much more, to be comfortable. And I don't know the justification, for why some of these teams are higher than, particularly looking at Louisville, particularly looking at Virginia. And I mean, I could bump them easily. And I know that this is what's funny, and so Virginia fans kind of bear with me here. I know you beat Louisville, and so you like the fact that you're ahead of them in this head-to-head. But when you look at Louisville's resume, because they do have some top 25 wins that unfortunately right now Virginia doesn't, there's some more strength that we can back with that. How possibly is Notre Dame in front of them? How possibly is
Yeah.
Texas and Oklahoma in front of these guys? Even Oregon. I think that Louisville should be ninth right now, when you see who they've beaten, when you see how they lost, because everybody cares about, "Well, how'd you lose?" Well, you lost in overtime, to the number 14 team in the country. You didn't get blown out by double digits. You didn't lose multiple games. And so that's really the quarry that I have with this, man, that just kind of, irks my nerves here, because the ACC does not get the credit that it deserves. And now I understand why and how that happens. And part of that is these teams have to take care of business outside of conference. We can't sit here and have losing records to every single other league. Like, it's detrimental. And that's why we see this reflected. That's the first thing the chairman said when he was laying out these rankings. But at the end of the day, the best team right now, Virginia and Louisville, do not have that. They don't have those losses that they might be talking about. So it's frustrating. At the end of the day, if you're a Virginia fan, you can find peace, and all you have to do is win. You can take care of everything you want. You've got a great path ahead of you. You got a favorable, I don't say easy, you have a favorable path ahead of you. And if you win out, you'll be in this playoff. You'll be an ACC champion, and you'll be in the college football playoff. And I think you can find real security in that, knowing your team, knowing your head coach, who has been there, done that, and knows how to get you to that place.
Yeah, you mentioned that final stretch for Virginia. Obviously, it starts this weekend against Wake Forest at Duke, and then they have a bye week, and then home against Virginia Tech in a game that, you can always throw the record out the window. It
I
doesn't matter
know.
what's
I
happening. But
know.
what do you make of this final stretch for Virginia as they, it's a weird position for, I know, Virginia fans just trying to, like, there's an ACC title race out there to be
Yeah.
won.
Yeah. And it's a crazy race, right? Like, you look at the teams with one loss, one, two, three, four, five teams that are vying for this spot right behind you, because you got zero. You've got a little bit of insurance, but not with the national scale, so you don't need to think of it that way. But the fact that there's a goose egg, besides your conference record in 5-0, that's really impressive. And it's now, who are we going to play, right? Like, Virginia fans, have you bought your tickets yet? Let's get this going. Let's get this rolling up and pack Charlotte out. But I think obviously it starts this weekend, primetime game against Wake Forest, who, a wounded animal right now, coming off that beatdown from Florida State a week ago. But they're going to be primed and ready. I mean, they're excited about this opportunity. They know what they have to do to continue to fight, and they're trying to go to the postseason and go bowling. They've got some dynamic pieces there. But I was spooked out by the Cal game, and I think we kind of saw why. I mean, that game came down to a game ceiling pick six, which I love to kind of stretch it out to double digits there. I don't feel that way against this one. I think that Virginia is ready enough to take this step. I think getting back to the run game is certainly a delight to see, and having that balance on the offense and defensive side. Now, at Duke's going to be a war. I mean, that's essentially a play-in game for the ACC championship, because you have the tiebreaker, obviously. Duke would have the advantage. So you have to really take account there and handle your business. They have one of the best passing attacks in the country. They have one of the best quarterbacks in the country, and a defense that's hit or miss. I mean, those guys have been opportunistic at times. They also just gave up 45 to Clemson, who struggled, you know, to score the football, but obviously had their best day at Clemson and a victory for Duke there. And then you mentioned Virginia Tech. There's nothing I can say about that game, because you should, and that on paper, beat them. And I've said that a couple of times, and you weren't able to. So it's the mental hurdle of, we've got this. I love that it's at home. It should be an absolute sellout, and we might be back for that. And I would love that. I would love to see that game, if that's the exclamation point on the season, you know, for Virginia to not only punch their ticket, but to take their ticket and head to Charlotte.
Yeah, it's, I keep saying it's, there's some kind of voodoo magic, and
I know, it's so weird. It's so
wouldn't
weird.
It be the year that they have an interim coach and Virginia is riding this high?
We're not going to be negative.
We're going to be positive. We're going to talk about what has surprised you the most, I guess, on the field about Virginia this year. We talked a little bit about Chandler Morris, but what else has kind of caught your eye about this Cavaliers team?
Yeah, I think the way they're running the football so effectively. I mean, Jamari Taylor has been exceptional, and the way that he's, you know, taken such a bulk of that load. I mean, 150 carries is a ton, and I'm sure he'll creep up, you know, close to 200, if not past 200 by the end of the season. But it's almost like he gets better. He wants more. Like, give me the rock, you know, scoring touchdowns at a super high clip, averaging 5 yards a carry, you know, having some relief behind him. You got a couple other guys that can run the football there, you know, as well. And then also just the I wouldn't say emergence, but the reemergence almost of Trail Harris. I mean, he's been fantastic, you know, really reliable guy that can do a lot for you. And of course, Cam Ross, how explosive he is in all aspects, you know, of the game there has been really fun to watch. So I love that from the defense. I kind of knew Chandler would be Chandler. So I'm not saying it's not surprising what he's doing. I expected him, you know, to be able to do that. And then of course, having Cam back, I mean, you kind of saw his absence was pretty relevant, you know, early in the season. And then as soon as he gets back, he's just a war daddy, man. He makes plays all over the field, and it is really fun to watch. So again, not a surprise, but it's fun to see, you know, guys that you have really high expectations for delivering on those expectations.
Well, let's talk about this one as we get ready to wrap up here. Wake Forest, you talked about, they're coming off that just beat down loss against Florida State. I mean, Florida State needed a win, so we'll give them that. Wake Forest, fifth ranked defense in the ACC, giving up 21.8 points per game. Have a couple good safeties back there. DeMond Claiborne, when we played Wake Forest in the past, he has been a load, but obviously is he healthy and is he rolling out there? Just what do you make of this Wake Forest team as they come into Charlottesville?
Yeah, really good defense, man. A talented defense that flies around, that will hit you, is physical, just really smart in the way that they approach the game, which I love. I mean, you see great communication. You don't really see a lot of, you know, assignment errors. I mean, they get it going, and they get it going in a hurry. You look back at that SMU game, I mean, that was textbook what they were able to do there. Georgia Tech as well. I mean, it was two really, really good football games with high execution, great tackling in space. I mean, Nick Anderson, as you mentioned, those safety positions, you know, and Devon Patterson have been fantastic, flying around, coming downhill, two leading tacklers on the team, which, you know, when safeties are your leading tacklers, that's a little bit of an issue from time to time. You want those guys up front to take care of that. But they're just so good at getting to the backfield there, getting their hands on footballs for pass breakups. Haven't got any interceptions yet, which is a little interesting. Nick Anderson, you know, kind of a ball hawk, usually can get his hands on a football. But that's where it starts, you know, defensively. And then on the offensive side of the ball, you mentioned it. I mean, you know, seeing that guy up close in person in Claiborne, he's freaky. He is fast, has great vision, can hurt you as a pass catcher out of the backfield, can hurt you as a return man, you know, in special teams there. So if I was Virginia, I would load up the box. I would make it look really good to want to throw the football and to see, okay, we got one-on-one because I trust my guys and I don't think you can throw it. I much rather, you know, have the football in your quarterback's hands throwing it than allowing you to run it, allowing you to be balanced. So I would really challenge them that way. And then, you know, for Virginia on offense, just continue to run the ball. That, I think when they can do that, they can play with anybody. And to have that balance and a little bit more quarterback run from Chan, you know, how hurt is he? Is he able to provide that? Because I think that's the great equalizer when you have an extra hat and you have a quarterback that can feel it and see it as well as he can specifically, you know, in the red zone, you know, goal line area. But, you know, your pass catcher's got to be special. When they get the ball, can they take it to the house? But that balance of running the football is going to be really key for these last three games for Virginia.
Yeah, Chandler had 6 carries for 38 yards, so showed a lot more willingness at Cal to run the football, and yeah. You know, he talked about that post game. But prediction time: UVA 6.5-point favorite. I'm glad that some of these lines have come down because they were like big favorites against Washington State and UNC. And I'm like, guys, like stop, like. And then we saw, you know, they went on a walk off safety and went on a stop 2-point conversion. I expect this one to be interesting for a while, but I would think I would lean towards like Virginia winning like 34-24 or something like that.
Yeah. So I've got a bit of a situation here because every time in these high state games, I have picked Virginia historically up until this point, they've actually lost. And so Virginia fans are tweeting me, messaging me, saying, please keep picking against us. Please do not pick us. So I really don't know what to do because I don't want to be disrespectful. I don't want like screenshots of me picking against you guys. But if that's what I have to do, I can do that. I can say go Deeks all day long. Whatever y'all need, I can do that for you. But I do think Virginia wins this game. And I, like I said, I thought the Cal game potentially could be spooky. Traveling over there just felt like a weird weekend. Everybody on the road. And you handle business. I do not feel that way against this game, in this game. I think, again, getting back to who we are, what we do is really vital and important. I think they continue to do that.
Did you? I think everyone picked Cal last week. Is that? I saw a couple of snapshots.
Listen, 60% of the teams that have traveled west have lost.
Yeah.
Or that when they had to come this way have lost. So we just were like, okay, is this it? Is this the go ACC moment of the weekend? We did. That's on us. That's on us. So, you know, remind us of that when we're here in Charlottesville.
Look, I don't think anyone should get extra credit for good predictions or bad predictions.
That's like, right. That's
we're all
have
just
no idea. We never know.
No clue. Eric, I appreciate you jumping on. I assume that you've gotten some good restaurant recommendations for your trip to Charlottesville by now.
Yeah, we're loaded up, man. We've got some good stuff. We're hitting some Mexican tonight. I'm literally about to jump on a plane and head to you guys now. What was the place that Chandler told me? I just blanked on it.
I think it was Burton's.
Yeah. Burton's. So we're going to Burton's Friday. And then, of course, they take care of us all Saturday. So it's going to be a good time. And I can't wait. I can't wait.
It should be a good time. Excited to have ACC Huddle in town. Eric, thanks for coming on. That'll do for the Who's On podcast this week. We will be back with you after the Wake Forest game. You can catch us on YouTube, Apple, Spotify. You know where to find us by now. We'll see you next week.